You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope you guys had a great weekend. It's been busy. It's my son's birthday this weekend. We had festivities. We had a Friends-a-palooza, okay, up in here. Okay, and it was great. Sometimes we forget going through the mundanes of life. We forget to want to hang out with our people. We forget to do self-care. Self-care is connecting with our friends, connecting with family. It's very important that we do these things to help feed our soul. Because if not, man, what are we doing out here, man? We're going to burn out. We're going to freaking have no connection, isolate. It's easy to get back into our own tendencies of isolating, not hanging out with our peoples. And that's what we did this weekend. We did a little Friends-a-palooza at my house with food, friends, just having a good time, cutting it up. And then today we did my son's birthday. So it's great. It's a great weekend for me, man. I'll tell you right now. But Caesar, hey, Caesar. He's not connected.
Hello.
Hi, Caesar.
I'm trying to figure out how to plug the computer. And no, she's
not. I was like, what's going on right now? Is there an earthquake in Florida?
I just realized that this thing's about to die.
Oh, gosh. I was like, who's going to do the freaking clarity statement if you don't do it, bro?
Statement, man. I'm just related right now. Anyway, so this is the Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Appreciate you, Caesar. I'm glad there was no earthquake at your house.
It might be. You don't know. You don't know.
I don't. I feel like I do, but sometimes, I don't know. It's Sunday, so who knows. We got our special guest, Mary Beth, in the house. We just did, me and Mary did a podcast this past week, and a little backstory on Mary. I wish I had the video, but I posted a video I stole from TikTok, and I posted it on our page because I thought it was just like, it was just moving. And it was a video of her coming back from prison and her daughter just freaking out. Like the emotion behind it, it was just unreal. And it's just, that's the things, man. We get back from our families. We get our give back to our families and be present. We did a podcast the other day. And actually, she reached out to me because of that video. She's seen it. Hey, I'm that person in the video. And it was posted, what, 2 years ago or a year ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she reached out to me. She's like, hey, I'm that person. So I was like, oh, cool. You want to do a podcast? She's like, yeah, let's do this. And I was like, cool.
Yeah, that's my video. You hijacked.
I borrowed it. It's still there. It's
it's cool.
Yeah, it's like I borrowed sugar from my neighbor. It's cool. But yeah, we did a podcast and it's going to be coming out very soon. So make sure you guys go on there and subscribe and follow and all that good stuff. We're going to have some, I got a lot of exclusives coming out soon.
Exclusives coming out soon.
Did that sound as cool as I think it did? No? Damn it. Never mind. It's not that exclusive.
You got to get your voice about 3 octaves deeper.
I can't. I just,
this is all I got.
I'm working on it, man. I sit in this room and I practice day in and day out.
No,
I don't. But it sounds really cool that if I did, it would never. tonight
and tonight only.
No, nothing yet.
It's all right.
It's doing it. Okay.
Did it do more it for you, unsolved Caesar? Mysteries.
Murder, She Wrote, right? No. All right, tonight's topic, guys, we're going to do saying yes to life. And I think Nate probably has some good perspective on this. And I'm going to let him go first because he says yes to life a lot.
He does.
And I like when he says yes because that means I don't get no's.
Yeah, we can say no to Justin and yes to life.
You shut your mouth.
Sometimes saying no to Justin is saying yes. Welcome, everybody. Grateful to be a part of tonight. Yeah, this actually has been in my gratitude. And when I, at the end of my gratitude, all of us share it on this screen. It says there's at the end, there's a focus. And usually a lot of the times out of the week, my focus is going to be say yes to life. And in parentheses, I'll put my higher power. and go with the flow. And yeah, it's a heck of a mantra, and it sounds simple and it sounds cliche and maybe like a bumper sticker, but think of the, you could just wrap your head around the concept, because when you're saying yes to life, you're actually surrendering to whatever external circumstances come in front of you in life and all its happenings, however it looks, however it comes dressed up, tragedy, joy, grief, sorrow, celebration, whatever it is, challenges, fears, all these things that we walk through on a daily basis. Am I surrendering to the flow of life and not trying to control it simultaneously? Because I promise you, I said no to life for a very long time. And then what does that look like? I got so used to settling for less and just reacting to whatever life put in front of me and blaming, really not taking responsibility for my own actions and just masking and authenticating and creating artificial feelings by whatever substances I put in my body. So I didn't have to deal with what life was throwing at me. And I didn't have to walk through life afraid or insecure. I put substance in my body so I could feel a part of, so I could deal with the subsequent guilt and shame that comes from years of very intense substance use. And yeah, I get so, it's such in a pattern of running. I'm a runner. I don't face things. And that's what like perpetuated the cycle of addiction for me for so many years. I would do these horrible and tragic things while under the influence and hurt those that were closest to me. And then I would mask the shame and guilt by more substance use, thus hurting them again. And the cycle just repeating itself over and over until I was physically removed from society quite a few times for a lot of years. You get into early recovery and everybody's talking about, you know, you need to get out of your own way and let go and let God. And these seem like some pretty lofty ideals when I first come in here. I don't know what the hell that means. And to be completely honest, it's really terrifying because I'm used to just holding on with both hands as tight as I can to everything that I think I need to change or control. And I want to make it a certain way. I want to fight to the death to get this right. And I come into recovery and they say, you need to let go, right? You need to let go and trust and have faith. And how does that happen? Especially for a guy like me that's been let down and let others down perpetually for 20 plus years. I've suffered abuse in prison. I've suffered deceit and lies and manipulation on the street. And now you're throwing me into these group of strangers and telling me to trust and have faith and let go in something I can't even see. It's a really hard thing to sell somebody. So why did I buy it, right? Because I had just the right amount of desperation and pain, and I was just pathetic enough and had no options left to where I really had no choice but to surrender to this process, right? I had nothing left. I had no other ideas, right? But in that space of like just utter desperation and guilt and shame and insecurities and fears and all these things that I carried with me, I, for the first time in my life, I took a suggestion and I trusted. I trusted the group. And in that, things started to happen. And how did I get faith? Because I started to see things work out in my life, right? I started to see that I could walk through my mom's death without getting loaded, right? I started to see that I could walk through finding out that my daughter was adopted when I was still in treatment and they didn't even tell me to have an opportunity to show up. I could walk through that and keep my head high and stay the course, right? I could walk through these things. They could let me out of treatment. I could live in a house for the first time by myself. And I walked through that fear. And through walking through these things sober, it builds faith because now I have evidence that something is working in my life. What is this something? Is it me trying to wrest satisfaction, like it says in some of our literature, from life? Or is it me like just trusting the process? Because what I've discovered is that when I focus on my higher power and helping others, things just organically unfold for me exactly as they should. But for a guy like me, it's so difficult to believe in that. And I promise you, like, that was one of the biggest transitions I've had in my recovery, to understand that in order for me to be well, I have to focus on my higher power and I have to focus on helping others. I can't really think about me. It's so incongruous, man. You're like, wait a minute. I thought I had the solution, right? I thought I had to figure it out. And it's actually the exact opposite. The solution for me has been to build this relationship with who I believe in, raise my hand when people ask for help, and show up consistently with integrity and honesty and be authentic and be real and not wear a mask. And, you know, it wasn't an easy transition. It hasn't been an easy process. But I promise you this, the more I let go and the more I focus on my relationship with my higher power, the easier everything externally in my life gets, right? The easier I'm able to just deal with adversity. The perfect example is in my relationship with others. I remember going to my sponsor a lot and going to God and being like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to make this situation better? How do I have to change? And the only change that I had to make was I had to build a closer connection with my higher power. I had to get busier in my service work. I had to get deeper in my meditation, reading, gratitude, inventory. I had to go through the 12 steps again. And in that process, you know, when I'm building this relationship with who I believe in, it reflects on every other relationship in my life, right? And then what happens is I'm finally okay with me. I don't need you to define or be a part of my happiness. I am whole as an individual, right? And in that wholeness, now I can come to you. I can come to the table without any expectations or without needing you to provide me with anything. And in that space, I can be an unconditional, complimentary, give and take relationships. And do I get it perfect? Not really. But in that space, it's easy to say yes to life. And I discover whenever I'm saying no to life, it always goes back to some sort of fear, insecurity. There's a disconnection. And I don't mean saying yes to life, just willy-nilly, do whatever you want, whenever you want. I'm just saying that whenever something faces you, you understand that it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. Everything that I've been through, everything that I've encountered, every experience, every relationship, every adversity, it is a chance for me to get closer to my God, my truth, my purpose. And it's not against me, it is for me. And once that I had that shift in perspective, I'm able to really walk through anything because I know there is some greater purpose, even though I may not be able to see it at that particular time, there is some reason that this is coming to me. This has been presented. And so it's up to me on a daily basis to just stay really busy, nurturing this relationship with my higher power, staying busy with the work, staying busy in the service. And then I can just go with the flow, man, whatever happens. I'm a pretty steady individual. I lived in a environment of chaos for a very long time where I had constant fight or flight. I had to always be on my toes. And it was funny. I was having lunch with a friend on Friday and he's like, Nate, he says, when you share, like you have this appreciation, just a different perspective on I can hear it in your message and how you talk and just your demeanor. And I'm like, well, yeah, just imagine being incarcerated for almost 15 years. You begin to appreciate every minute detail, the things that everybody else take for granted. I look at as a true blessing, a gift, driving, going to the refrigerator at night, a hot shower, solitude, quiet, comfortable bed, right? You know, all of these things. And what a gift. What I promise you, like the true freedom is letting go of the attachment that I have any control on what unfolds in front of me. And once I can let go of the idea that I am that I am the captain, look into my eyes, I am not the captain anymore, right? I am not the captain. And when I can give that over, and I don't care what you give it over to, give it over to the group that you're surrounded, give it over to Buddha, to Allah, to God. I don't care what you call it. Just know that there is an infinite and eternal source that is just, it says in our underlying the totality of things. When I used to hear this stuff, when I first came in, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here with that crazy talk. Now it's the very foundation that I stand on. I understand at a soul level, at a, on a visceral level, to my the very core of my being, that as long as I let go and surrender to this power, that any everything in my life is going to work out exactly as it should be. I'm going to be surrounded with the exact individuals I'm meant to be around, and that I am not going to be okay. I am okay always. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks to Nate.
I'll be Caesar.
You guys be sound the same.
We're basically the same.
You're kind of the same person, just in a different place.
Basically the same.
Nate, you say you're locked up for 15 years. And there's a lot of us that might not have been on the inside of a bars, right?
It doesn't
inside
matter.
Prison.
Yeah,
we're in our own prisons. That was that Creed song, "My Own Prison." But it's and it's true, man. Like we're in our own prisons of our minds.
Yeah, and that's
locked in there.
Yeah, and that's another revelation, Justin. That and that didn't matter. Freedom is a state of mind. Being in prison is a state of mind. It didn't matter where I was at. I was in the same prison. Whether I was in an institution or I was at home on the streets, I was completely locked up in my mind. I was done.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. Yeah.
You can find freedom in prison.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's truth. Mary Beth, how are you? What's going on? What you got on this?
Listen, so Nathan really stole the words out of my mouth. Like that, your perspective is amazing. But I completely agree. You know, I spent 17 years of my life like saying yes to all the wrong things, right? Yes to getting high. Yes to selling drugs. Yes to giving my soul away piece by piece. I was no longer a person. I was no longer a mother. I was simply like a shell of somebody that I used to be. And I remember whenever I found recovery, I never knew like what recovery was, right? Like whenever I got indicted, and I am one of these people who like, I have nothing but love for the feds, right? Because they saved my life. But I remember I get into recovery and I never heard of like, you know, 12-step fellowship or meetings or any of that stuff. And so I go to these meetings and they're like, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Life on life terms. And I'm like, what the fuck does this stuff mean? Like, what are you saying? But those are the mottos that I live my life by today. Taking everything as it comes. I preach this to the clients at the treatment facility that I work at all the time. If recovery was something that was easy, we would all have recovered. You know what I mean? There would have been no need for treatment facilities, for 12-step fellowships, for a higher power. None of that would have been necessary. If we could all just put it down and stop using, we would have did it a long time ago. It's an everyday maintenance. It's every single day of my life, like making sure that I'm taking care of the things that I need to take care of to make sure that I see another day clean and sober. And, you know, for me, that's mind, body, and soul. Saying yes to things that I never would have thought I would have said yes to, right? Like CrossFit. That was never on my radar, but like making sure that my body is healthy, because the minute that I stop doing the things that got me clean is the minute that I need to start worrying about my next relapse. But something for me that I have to really stay vigilant at is always checking my motives. Like, what is my motivation for everything that I'm saying yes to, right? Because let's keep it real. Like, we're addicts, we're self-seeking. Right? We don't always stay in our will. Like, it sounds great to say, I need to stay in God's will or your higher power's will at all time. But a lot of the times I'm in my will. I'm all about fix, managing and controlling whatever's around me. So I have to be diligent every day to like make sure that whatever my motive is for that reason of why I'm doing this, am I doing this because it's benefiting me? Am I doing this because I really want to help somebody? Or am I doing this to help me? Recovery is such a beautiful thing. I get to say yes to so many things today that never in my life, even as a mom in active addiction, that I think I was going to be able to say yes to. I get to go to my kids' sporting events today. That's why I have no voice, right? So like my voice does not sound like this, but I get to be that mom who goes to these bowling events. And you would never think that bowling events go live like this, but I get to cheer for my kid and I get to watch them do the things that they love. And they get to have me there with them and they want me there with them. And that, even at almost 7 years clean, still surprises me, because for so long, man, my kids were like, especially my oldest one, he was like, I didn't get invited to the things. I didn't get invited to the functions. And Friday, I got to go to his high school to share the message of recovery to a bunch of kids. Those are the things that I get to say yes to today. I get to be that voice for the voiceless. You guys know this, man. The stigma around addiction is real. And each and every day I get to fight towards breaking that stigma to show the world that we can and we do recover, right? Like, it does not matter what section of life you come from. If you come from the poverty, if you're coming from the upper nonchalant if you're middle class American, right? It affects us all. Justin, you made a great point. Like, the most free I think I ever felt was when I was incarcerated. And that's crazy. And people are like, you were free while you were in prison? Yes, because that was the time in my life that not only did I get to bring the message of recovery to a bunch of women who had no idea what recovery was, we started a meeting inside that facility. And to watch the fellowship that happens inside of those walls, like, I never felt so free than I did in that moment. So for me today, man, saying yes is just, is living. I get emotional saying that, right? Like, I get to live today. And I have to constantly remind myself, we get frustrated. Life happens. We get busy. Those kids yell. They scream. Like, literally, I'm in a closet right now because I had to go find some peace in my house. But I have to constantly remind myself, like, on those moments, whenever I was in that prison and it was cold and I'm laying on that rack in that inch mat, I prayed for these days. I prayed for the problems that I have today, right? I prayed to be able to be that mother to my kids that I so wanted to be for so many years. I prayed to have these free world problems that I get to experience today. So that's what saying yes is for me.
Mary Beth, thank you so much. Like, your perspective is just spot on. It's much needed and much appreciated. So thank you for saying yes to coming on here with us. Oh man. Thank you so much. So say yes to life. And there's some great stuff. Nate, you always have some great perspective. Mary Beth, thank you. Your perspective is just, I just love how these conversations come about. We come up with a topic and then we could just go with it. As long as we show up whenever we're asked to do something, and as long as it's not too much and we're saying yes to too much and get overwhelmed. I think that's something that, like, I have used. I'm a big believer in calendars because I will say yes to everything and then I will be overwhelmed with life. That's saying yes too much. We're always being vigilant and finding the balance with that. Everybody says it's a unicorn, which it is, right? It's a unicorn. Like, it's never really actually handled. It's an ever-changing, ever-flowing, ever-evolving process that we have to continue to do as we grow through this recovery. And as soon as we think we got a lick, bam, there it is again. Like, what just happened? I just thought I had everything figured out. That was over there. This was there. And who put that up there? It's like, somebody rearranged your whole house and you didn't even know it. That's exactly what it feels like when that balance gets out of whack, you know? And that's what it feels like for me, but I'm always staying vigilant and trying to maintain my balance. And I can make anything unhealthy real quick. I'm really good at it. Working out, I can make unhealthy. Eating healthy, I can make unhealthy. I could do a Hope Shot, I can make real unhealthy. Nate knows. It's easier. And then my recovery, doing service work, helping people, giving rides. There's so many things. Oh, doing free charity work, right? I've gotten in some pickles doing that stuff sometimes. I have to understand that, what can I handle while saying yes to life? And throughout this process of this, I think my calendar helps me. My calendar helps me say yes to what I can. That's where I'm at right now. And I use that thing like it's going out of style, because if it doesn't go on there, for one thing, I forget about it. And then I get anxiety because I forgot about it. Like, oh, shit. And I get anxiety and I hate that feeling of anxiety. And so I use it a lot. That way I'm not overdoing, I'm not underdoing, and I don't forget about stuff. It's very important. And then I remember saying yes to the most unreal, insane things back in the day when I was getting high. I would say yes to anything. That I would jump through firing hoops if I was dope sick and trying to get freaking some shit, right? I would jump through firing hoops trying to get that next fix every single time. Oh, the dope man's 5 minutes away and then he has to meet you somewhere else. That dude would have you chasing him around town and you would say yes to all of it to get your fix. And it's like, what am I willing to do in this recovery process that I'm not willing to say yes to? Because I'd say yes to some dumb stuff back there. Say yes to all. I'll be the fall guy. I'll do some dumb shit. Yeah, set me up, man. I would say yes to everything because, one thing, I had self-worth issues. I would say yes to every little thing just so I could fit in and feel a part of something. And then most of the time, it get me in trouble. Or like when I was a juvenile, I said yes to so much stuff. I got Grand Theft Autos as a juvenile, right? I never stole a car, but I said yes to driving it and I said yes to staying in it. And I got busted for Grand Theft Auto, but I never stole the car. But there's so many things in my life that I look back on, and because of my self-worth, I'd say yes to all the wrong things and none of the right things. Like my parents, It was all no's. No, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. And it's like, how come? Why? Why was that? Everything that was good for me, I would say no to, but everything yes, I would say yes to? Does that even make any sense? No, you know? So why the hell am I here saying no to the guy that's going to help me and save my ass? What the hell? Hey, these 12 steps are going to help you and save your ass. Yeah, but I could do 3, but you know I have a job, right? And that's legit an excuse, okay? I could come up with so many excuses for why not to say yes, right? Something that's going to be healthy and good for me. I could find out as many excuses as I want because you know why? Work, hard work isn't easy, right? And that's hard to say yes to. Nobody really wants to read and write and put their feelings on a paper and freaking talk to somebody else about it and do this other stuff. Nobody wants to like get down thinking that I'm at fault. Nobody wants to admit that. But sometimes you got to. And then and in turn, you grow. And why not? What are we doing here? You can become miserable up in this recovery process. I have living proof of that too. A miserable existence, relapse mode on fleek. Is that, do they still say that? Okay, good. Relapse mode on fleek, man. And like I was in relapse mode running the Hope Shot. I was on relapse mode doing all this stuff. I mean, relapse doesn't mean you have to be in, you have to relapse. Doesn't mean you have to use, but you can be in relapse mode. And that's part of my story is I didn't use, but I was in relapse mode because I was miserable and making everybody around me miserable too. And instead of saying yes to life, saying yes to what my friends tell me, and I finally did. I surrendered again. Surrendered to the process, surrendered to life, surrendered to my higher power, surrendered to whatever it was because I was just tired of being miserable. When you get put in a position where you have to get to desperation, it's either you're going to surrender or you're going to stay there or you're going to use. And it's a bad place to be, but it's an opportunity to grow too. So actually, it's a good place to be. It just depends which way you want to go. You got a fork in the road. Which way are you going to go? I took the freaking say yes. So that's what I got on that. Thanks, Caesar, for letting me go.
Yeah, Justin, I just want to say, I think it's a beautiful thing that you brought up too, about especially about that just because you've been some years in recovery. I see the most people that have years and years in recovery go back out and never come back. You know, that's what we need. Like, easier to get complacent when your ass isn't on fire and you got the job, you got the family, you got all these responsibilities. You're like, you start to make concessions and compromise. And it's like, it comes down to like, how free do I want to be today? Like if I put just a percentage of how I got loaded into my recovery, I'll be fine. But I want to be more than fine, man. I want to live. I want to enjoy life to the fullest. I want to live these awakened dreams, right? So I'm trying to put everything in my heart, soul, and spirit into my recovery. Not a percentage, everything. Let me make that my number one priority and let's see what God has in store for me. That's how I want to like focus on my recovery.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right. Thanks, Nate.
We sat down with Just a Dad from Akron and learned a little bit about him and Renard Packard that has the Packard Institute over there. We're connecting with your people in Akron and it's actually very cool. So hopefully we'll be doing more things with them. So say yes to life. You guys are all going to be so shocked because my share is going to sound very similar to...
That's him.
Huh?
Kenny Lambert. That was the guy, the dad, just the dad from
yes, Akron. Yes, Kenny Lambert.
That's him.
He came and it was pretty cool. They took a bike ride to the beach and ran into the meeting at Green Key this morning. They didn't know it was there. It just happened to hit it and... Then he went over to the A Club and he shared there. Just awesome people to meet. I really feel blessed that I'm able to connect with people like that. But again, you'll be shocked that my share sounds a lot like Nate's because we're like the same people. But I didn't say yes to anything, man. I was afraid of life. I didn't know that's what it was. But I couldn't face life on life's terms. I had to face life numb. That was the only way I knew how to do it because because I couldn't do it. I found my solution in a bottle or in a needle or in a bag of powder. And I ran with that. And I said yes to all that because that was the only way I knew how to function. I went to court-ordered meeting after court-ordered meeting to court-ordered rehabs. to 12-step meetings in facilities and jails and all of those things. But I couldn't hear anything that was being said, kind of like what Steve said. Prison made him be able to hear the message, but I didn't hear the message until I ran out of excuses and shit that I could still hang my hat on. I had to lose everything. As long as I still had my businesses, for those of you who don't know me, I owned bars in the Tampa Bay area. So you couldn't really tell me shit. Hey, you can't drink anymore safely. The hell I can. I own bars. I have to drink. That's part of doing business. And they would tell me stuff like, you won't be able to do it. You'll end up relapsing on your drug of choice. And I go, you're crazy, man. I'll prove you wrong. And time after time again, I proved them right. And what it was, I didn't know what life without substances looked like. And I really, if I'm being honest, I didn't know if I could do life substances. So you fast forward to my last rehab, I lost all of my businesses. My home was foreclosed on while I was locked up again. My daughter was born when I was in rehab, and then I went to jail because I instantly relapsed after I got out of rehab. And then I went to this one and I was out of ideas and schemes and plans and ideas. I knew I wasn't going to outgrow it. I knew I wasn't going to outthink it. And I gave up to the idea that I've got to ask for help. And somebody came in and shared a message of hope. He didn't look anything like me. He had a lightness about him, kind of like a joy that I could not relate to. I was like, why is this guy smiling and laughing and happy? He has a tie on. He clearly has a job. He has a car. He drove here. He clearly has a license. These are things that I can't relate to. I hadn't had a license in 10 years. So the first time in my life, I asked for help and I didn't dictate what that help was going to look like. And that was my first step towards saying yes to actual real life. And I'm fortunate that this guy was patient and tolerant and kind, and he taught me how to do life sober. He took me through the work, but he also treated me as a friend. I didn't know how to do anything. I'd owned my own businesses, but I paid people to do everything. I had accountants. I did this. I did that. I didn't do anything myself. And I had stunted all growth from like the time I was 12 until I was 37. So I was like emotionally a child, and I had no real work history, and I didn't know how to do shit. And this guy walked me along this path, helped me open a bank account, encouraged me to get my license back, even when I was told I couldn't do that, that it wasn't even an option. And what he taught me, one little step at a time, is that it's possible. I can do hard things, or what I consider hard. I can face these things with faith, with fellowship, and little by little. Like, I'm not saying I said yes to the whole enchilada right at the beginning. I didn't get out of rehab and go, yes, life, I'm gonna take you on. Like, I got my ass kicked. I was on foot for like the first 6 months out of rehab. I helped a guy move and he gave me a bicycle. A bicycle meant I could do more than two things in an entire day, because on foot, over here in Pasco County, everything's pretty spread out. So like going to a meeting and go to probation and walking back home, that's like a 10-mile trip on foot. That's your day. I'm going to hang out at the meeting as long as possible because it's a long ass walk home. And I was too proud to ask people for rides, which I got brought up on my awareness later on about that. Like, somebody saw me walking in the rain and they're like, what's wrong with you, man? You talk to everybody at these meetings, but you never ask for a ride. I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother anybody. And they're like, you're not bothering us. You're cheating us of an opportunity to be of service. And I had to look at it that way and go, okay. And I didn't understand that at the time, but later on I understood, like, when you're trying to help somebody and they're too afraid to actually take the help. Hey, I'll pick you up. I know you just got out of rehab. I'll buy you lunch and we're going to go read. And like, no, I don't want you to buy me lunch, man, because we're programmed to believe that you're doing that for some other reason. Like, I'm going to owe you and I don't really want to owe you. And so these experiences with good people with good motives allowed me to trust a little bit more and let people into my life. The work that I did on the inside changed me enough for me to be able to face new experiences without numbing myself. The little steps that I took moving forward, the little accomplishments, the getting the license back, which was hard to do, getting a job, being reliable and responsible at that job and moving up, those little steps, each one of them was proof that I can walk through something and come out the other side stronger. And then I can say yes to the next thing and grow a life and grow my own fellowship. And then I keep walking through these things. And at the beginning, it was God gave me what I can handle. It wasn't a whole lot. I couldn't handle a whole lot. I was burnt out. I thought I was going to get a job right out of rehab. That was not in God's plan. I got laughed at a few places that I applied. I had no work history. I've owned my own business and I'm a college graduate. Hire me. Where have you worked for the past 10 years? Nowhere. I have no work history. I have nothing to put on this piece of paper. I've been incarcerated most of my life. So I couldn't get a job. It doesn't matter what you face. If you stick to it and you get that evidence that you can walk through something and come out stronger, then I can share that with the next guy. And then I moved on one thing after another. Being able to speak in front of people, that was a freaking disaster. Like, I couldn't open my mouth up without like profusely sweating and shaking, but I did it enough times that I became comfortable. And I said yes over and over again. And anytime somebody asked me to be of service and speak, I say yes. I faced the death of both of my parents in early sobriety. And I was surrounded by people. And I could have easily just been like, this is just too much, and turned the other direction. This guy told me, it's not about you, bro. Like, all you're saying is I and me and how it's affecting me. Why don't you go and see what you can do to make the situation better for the rest of your family? You know, the family that you stole from, and you stole their time and you stole their peace of mind, all those things. Why don't you go see what you can help them with? And it shifted my perspective. And it took me out of that fearful self of what about me, and it put me into service of what can I do to help my sister? What can I do to help my brother? How can I help this situation? And one of the hardest things I've had to walk through, now I can share that with somebody. When they say, well, I can't do recovery if, and you insert something there. I've been through so much shit that I don't care what you insert there. Yes, you can. You can walk through anything with a little bit of grace and some dignity and come out the other side stronger. That's what saying yes to life looks like to me, is not running from the things, not running from the opportunities, stepping outside of my comfort zone and doing something with a shaky voice and shaky legs, but doing it anyway, because it's not about me. It's about the people that my message could help. It's about improving my job to help my family, and doing these things builds me up over time. And I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more times. The only way you get good self-esteem is by doing esteemable acts. Your self-esteem doesn't get better if you're living a life of scumbaggery on the side and then just sharing some really awesome stuff at the meetings and then walking out of the meeting and 13 stepping and going and doing this and that. That's not how you get it. You get it by doing esteemable acts. We had a meeting this morning and we were talking about character defects and the fears that drive these things. I'm fortunate today that I live most of the time in faith and not in fear. And those fear-based knee-jerk reactions are a lot less than they used to be, but I still get fearful. I still have to face things that are hard. On this show, in the beginning, we read the clarity statement. That's saying yes to life. I don't care what your recovery looks like. I don't care if you walk in the door and you need to be on MAT. I don't care if you walk in the door and you run straight with faith-based. I don't care what you do, as long as you're improving your life and you're walking towards something better. Whatever that looks like for you. because I was allowed that space. I was allowed those options. I chose the path that I chose, but your saying yes to life and saying yes to recovery does not have to look like anybody's on this screen. But what you do have to do, get outside of yourself, build a tribe. I don't know any other way to put that. You build the people that you connect with, which I'm blessed to be able to choose the people. How many years, Nathan? I didn't get to choose. You didn't get to choose. So we got locked up with who we got locked up with. That's all that was. I have the freedom of choice today to choose who I want to spend my time with, who I want to be in my inner circle, who I want to be my advisors. And those are the most important people in my life because my God works through people. And I have to have people in my life to have his message come through them. So every morning I wake up, I get into gratitude, I get into prayer, because once I walk out the door, if I'm not armed with some spiritual tools and some things, I'm going to say no to life. It comes at you fast and hard. And the longer you've been around, the more important it is to remember how we need to stay teachable. We don't know it all. We have to be able to take suggestions forever. Like, I have to be accountable forever. I can never think that I've got this thing or I'm going to get God. And I know we're getting 1 minute away and I see Justin getting antsy and he's doing one of these things. He doesn't want me to go on too much longer. Saying yes to life is saying yes to your recovery and choosing to live. And that's the short version of this. Saying no is choosing death these days. So that's all I've got.
Thanks, Caesar. I'm not cutting you off. Just letting you know, you can keep going if you want. I don't care.
Okay, part two.
I'm just kidding. Part two, next Sunday, you have to join.
I have a 30-minute dissertation on say yes to life. Just hold on 1 second there, buddy.
No. Oh, man, this is such a great topic. I think we can talk about this forever, and it's something we have to be reminded of. That's why these topics are so important. Just as much as the stories are important, the topics are important. That way we can remind ourselves, because I can forget. I have a built-in forgetter sometimes that going through the mundanes of life and trying to get this and do that, take care of kids and blah, 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 blah. Life is fast. You know, we can forget sometimes what got us here, what gave us this life, what gave me this life I have. Question for all, how do I lead a loved one, little brother, to sobriety? I get it's his choice, but what can I do as an older brother to help him?
Nate.
Yeah, there's all the comments. I think Anna said it best. Lead by example. Educate yourself. Go to Al-Anon, go to Nar-Anon, whatever, and let them guide you. And they'll give you all the tools you need to be a great example and to do what's best for him. Because anybody could sit here and tell you what it is, but it's your situation. So go to some groups that people have been doing this for years and they can really walk you through that.
I can say this guy's already a really good role model. So I guess you know him. I know. Okay. This person. You just love your brother, but set boundaries. That's the best way that I can put that. Don't enable him, but let him know that he's loved and you're there to help him. And that help is going to be rides to meetings or whatever it is. It's going to be healthy help, and it's not going to be financial help. That's the best way that I can put that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, as long as you don't enable the person and help them along their way, healthy boundaries and showing them love when they don't feel lovable. I think my dad, one thing he did was he didn't give me what I wanted. He didn't give me what I wanted. What do I want? I want money so I can keep going. Or he cut me off. And that's the best thing he did. I'm doing what I can. It breaks my heart. He lives a few states away, but it's a revolving door of jail, rehab, my parents bailing him out financially, raising his kid. I wish I was there more. I wish there was more I could do.
You can have a conversation with your parents and maybe get them to go to one of these Al-Anon or Nar-Anon meetings so they can see how their financial help is actually hurting him. Because that was one of the things my parents were very willing to do, was bail me out of situations. And it kept me sick a lot longer and kept me from hitting that point of running out of ideas and schemes. If you've always got that safety net there, why do you really want to get sober? Or why do you really want to get clean? You're like, I know I'm going to get arrested, but I know my parents will bail me out again. The safety net has to be gone. In my experience, I can't speak for everybody. And I had to learn my own way that the hole just keeps getting deeper. And at one point I could see light. And by the time I asked for help, I was so deep in that I was afraid that nobody would be able to reach me. But that was what it took for me to go, please pull me out of this damn hole.
Enabling not enabling, but helping somebody. We're sitting here saying yes to life, but then we're saying sometimes you have to say no to the person that you're enabling.
Well, that is saying yes to life.
I'm saying yes.
I know, but what I'm saying is that's what I'm saying though.
Yeah.
And it's, but we have to let them hit the rock bottom. We're robbing them of letting them hit the rock bottom and getting that gift, the gift of desperation that they truly need in order to actually get somewhere. Mary Beth, you got something on it?
I mean, that was my scenario. That was my situation. My parents, literally, they enabled me by taking my kids. I was grateful for that. But when they took them, they took them. And I had to feel that. Like I had to reach that bottom that was sufficient enough for me to recover. And there was nobody that could help me with that until I was ready. That's the one thing about recovery I tell everybody. We don't get clean for our kids. We don't get clean for our parents. We don't get clean for the job or the house. We get clean because we're so sick and tired of being sick and tired within ourselves. And that's why we get clean. But I definitely agree. Get to some Narnon, Al-Anon, and get your resources and stop the enabling. You enable the addict, you bury the addict. And that's the severity of it today.
Yeah. And if it comes down to it, sometimes a soft intervention. Nate does that all the time. Not all the time, but sometimes it takes loved ones putting it down on paper and just sitting with them and with a loving open heart and just reasoning with them. Maybe sometimes they can't even see their own bullshit. I couldn't see my own shit and everybody knew except for me. That's what it came down to. Everybody knew except for me. So man, great topic tonight. Thank you so much, Mary Beth, for being here again. Her podcast, her story is coming out in the next couple of weeks. I can't give you for sure. I'm a juggler of multiple things, but in next couple of weeks, I'm going to have it at least by next week. I think I'll have it on Apple Podcasts or at Google, pretty much anywhere. Just follow us, subscribe, whatever you need to do. You'll hear her story and I'll definitely have it on the page when it comes out. I hope you guys have a great week and I love y'all.